And now it's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails, tweets, and web comments. Our show on customer service struck a nerve and brought out a number of former and current company service reps in our audience. Catherine in San Francisco wrote, "I worked for a company as their premier flack catcher. They sent me all the furious and angry customers, and I always turned them around relatively easily. My secret? Listening. Make them feel that they were well and truly heard. The result was that the bottom line improved. On another note, at Apple retail stores, they track their customer service and find that the higher their ratings for real customer service, the better their sales." And the launch of our series, What Works, and our companion website, that's at npr.org/whatworks, yielded a lot of problems that you would like to see fixed. Among them, listener Susan Harper wrote, "Please, let's fix special education in public schools. We wait for struggling students to fail before offering help, and then we don't help with modified teaching. We just teach the same way, saying it louder and slower. Marta Johnson just wants to get to work on time. Is there any public transit that runs on a regular and predictable schedule, and how? As a student in Chicago, I am always allowed an hour for a commute that included about 25 minutes of time actually spent on the L and the bus. I never knew when I would be waiting 15 to 20 minutes for a train, even during rush hour, or when I'd be standing downtown for another 15 or 20 minutes waiting for a bus. Someone has got to have solved this." And listener Wendy Murray just wants a solution to her poison ivy. "I'm an archaeologist who spent 2 years fearing and or suffering from horrible poison ivy while working in New England. I tried every remedy I could find, but nothing worked. I ended up in tears for most of the summer out of frustration and seriously considered the possibility that I would not be able to continue working in archaeology. I've since moved to the desert. The only effective treatment was steroids, which has undesirable side effects if used too often. Why is this allergy so difficult to treat? Please fix this problem." Well, that's just three of the problems listeners are talking about on our What Works website. If you've got a problem you want fixed, we'll try to see if somebody's found a solution. Or if you've got solutions for Wendy's rash, maybe, go ahead and post it at npr.org/whatworks. And one last entry in our Just One Joke broadcast from last April Fool's Day. We asked writer and humorist Joe Queenan for a favorite one-liner. He declined, but went on to say why. "I do not know a single clean joke. Every joke I have ever heard is vulgar or offensive in some way. I heard the funniest joke I know one night when a friend had a big fight with his wife about a joke he told her parents while she was at the store. It was hilarious, but after he told it, I asked him how he could have possibly cleaned it up for his in-laws. He did not explain. The other thing is, people like me," Joe Queenan continued, "never tell jokes. We tell stories. Stories are the truth embellished. Jokes are never true. That's because the best jokes originate on Wall Street, and people on Wall Street are liars. I once did a stand-up routine at the Improv for a story I wrote for GQ. I wrote all my own jokes. The only big laugh I got was when I asked, 'How do we know that when whales make those beautiful cooing sounds, they are not actually making homophobic remarks?' The only other time people laughed was when I swore. Before writing the story, I solicited advice from a bunch of comics. A comic who was in Howard the Duck told me that if I was on stage and no one was laughing, I should simply swear. All of you who participated in the Just One Joke broadcast were good enough not to swear, and were pretty darn funny, too. If you missed the broadcast or any of our other previous programs, you can download the podcast. Just go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.